I don't know where the first place I'll have you. We'll be in Romans as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper here. We just sang that song and it says, can't remember exactly how it goes, but no one that dies will ever know his anguish. No anguish, his anguish none can know, I think it says, in his robes for mine. See, in all of human history, brethren, there's never been a death like the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. There's never been a death like his. Oh, there have been gruesome deaths, gruesome and horrible deaths, where men and even women died at the hands of their captors. But there's never been a man to die with the weight and burden of sin upon his soul as Jesus did. There's never been a death like his. Isaiah tells us, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah goes on to say, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We can read those words, but we can't even come close to entering into the death that he suffered for the sins of the world. You may be able to enter into and understand the agony and throes of death in a single man or woman. But no one can enter into nor understand the agonies of death that the Son of Man endured when he died for the sins and iniquities of thousands of thousands. He suffered the penalty and punishment of the wrath and wrath of Almighty God for the sins of an innumerable multitude, not his own. And when he died, he was completely innocent, blameless. He was without sin. In fact, Paul tells us God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now listen, I've seen moving testimonies of those who were saved from physical death by a Savior in this life. Saved because of one who gave himself or herself to save them. And in the process of saving that one, the Savior actually died. There have been those that have been saved from physical death like that. That is a sacrificial love. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I love to read the Medal of Honor citations. There are those that the citations say. Every Medal of Honor citation says that the one who was the hero had an indomitable spirit. There is no indomitable spirit like our Lord. And even though there may be a physical savior that may save one from physical death, death will one day get the victory over every son and daughter of Adam. One day at the appointed day, God will call back our souls in the death of our bodies. In that day, you and I will not be able to be saved from death, though you have 1,000 doctors and paramedics and heroes that would save you and resuscitate your body. Earthly saviors will be powerless in the day of God's visitation. They will be powerless to save you at God's appointed day when you reach the bounds of your habitation. Every one of us is going to reach that shoreline, and it doesn't matter who there is on the earth and what technology they have. When God calls for your soul, it's going to be your hour and moment. With that in mind, there is only one successful Savior who will not fail you. Every fallen human needs this Savior, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because though you will die, this Prince, this Savior, will bring you up from the grave and save you not from physical death. You must cross that river. But he will save you from eternal death. Every one of us savors human life. We do. Every human wants to live. It's the characteristic of life. So we savor human life, but human life will ultimately end for every one of us. The only life that we must savor in this life is the life that will be lived, brethren, in the presence of God. That eternal life that is without sin, without sorrow, without earthly agonies, without iniquities, that eternal life that will never end. Jesus Christ came to bestow upon us that eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the only life that matters, even in this earthly life. John chapter 5 and verse 24, if you're not there, you can just listen. John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's the death you want to be freed of. Lazarus, ultimately, after he was called from the grave, went to the grave again one day, not to be called back from physical death. We will all die. John 6:37. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have presently, now, everlasting life, and I will raise him up from death at the last day." Christian, you have eternal life because the Son of Man suffered and died and paid the penalty for your sins. He endured the agonies of thousands of thousands. Thousands of thousands of hells for thousands of thousands of unthankful and unworthy sinners. He willingly took upon himself the justice and unmitigated. You know what unmitigated means? Means there was not a tinge of mercy in the wrath of Almighty God against his holy soul. It was without mixture. It was the full force of God's wrath. And he did it for unworthy, unthankful sinners. How can that be? How could he do that? Well, I'll tell you, it's because of agape love. That's how. With that, I'll have you go to Romans 5. Sorry, I had you there early. Romans 5, beautiful chapter. One of my favorite in all of the Word of God. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory or rejoice in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." That exalts God's love, that he died for the ungodly. What a lesson for us about agape love. When you love sinners, when you love ungodly persons, that exalts Christ's love. That's his love. That's the love of God, because that's what we were. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." God didn't commend his love toward good and righteous men, but towards ungodly sinners. There were those that thought themselves too good. Who would die for the ungodly? God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we give thanks for that death this morning. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, a wrath which he took upon himself willingly. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received, present tense, the atonement. We have been reconciled to God in the death of Christ. That's what we come to remember this morning. Wherefore, as by one man, and here's where we see the contrast of the first and second Adam, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so, by virtue of that statement in the Word of God, you need the death of Christ if you're lost. You need Christ's death to be effectual for you. Beloved of God, this is what we remember, this death. We profess by taking that cracker and that juice that it was effectual for us, that we don't take it lightly. That when we eat and drink, that we are professing publicly that our faith is in the Son of God and that he died for me. You must profess he died for you. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law, but there was law before the law. Why was there death between Adam and Moses? He talks about this. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. How? Well, because there was law. Where was it? It was written upon man's heart. So death reigned from Adam and Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who are those that don't sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression? Adam sinned willfully. We sin both willfully and by nature. And he says, who is the figure of him that was to come? And here are the contrasts, but not as the offense. So also is the free gift. That's like saying, but the free gift is not like the offense or the trespass. How so? For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The second example, and not as it was by one that sinned. That's like saying the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. So, and not as it was by that one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification or righteousness. The next example, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You see the first Adam and the second Adam? Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 3:23. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption or the ransom or the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth or whom God hath determined to be a propitiation." He would be the satisfaction for the sins of the world, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. In Christ, beloved, God declares you righteous. In Christ, it's a declaration. None of this would be possible without the death of Christ. Apart from the death of Christ, we are justified by his blood. Beloved, to remember the death of Christ is not a small thing. Yes, we might enter into and understand the agony of one man dying, but not the death of Christ. And yet here at the Lord's table, you are called to remember his sufferings, his agony and his death on the cross of Golgotha for your sins. If you're not born again, you must not partake of this remembrance. Why? Because you have not turned from your sins to Christ. You have not trusted and believed in his death for your sins. And so it is here that we remember that. If you take the cracker, you take the juice, then what you say is that you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if he died for no one else in the world, he died for you. You trust that. You believe that. And the fruit of that is manifest in your life. And that's how you live your life. To honor him, to glorify him, and in thanksgiving that your sins have been forgiven in the person of Christ. They were laid upon him. They have now, in Christ, been expunged. They're gone. God says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. Now listen, no one can truly say they believe that. No one can truly say that they love that truth, that God has cast away your sins as far as the east is from the west. No one can say that by the Spirit of God and go out there and love their sins. You can't do that. Oh, you can physically do it, but you can't do it before God. You cannot. That's not the way a Christian lives. That's not the response of the new nature. That's not the response of the new birth. That's the response of only having been born once. That's the response of being born from corruptible seed. But the response of being born from incorruptible seed is that you'll go out and you'll live a life that honors and glorifies God. Will you be sinless? No, no. But you will hate your sins. And the further you go in Christ, you will continue to hate your sins. And when you do sin, you will confess your sins. You will remember that cross. You will remember every strike and blow of the hands of those that slapped and punched Jesus in the face and spit upon him was for your sins. You'll remember that. You will not take it lightly when you sin. You will be convicted for your own sins. You will never take this time lightly. And so with that, I'm going to ask Brother Gary, if he'll pass out the crackers. Thanks. 1 Corinthians 11:23. Paul says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Brother Gary? Amen. Take and eat, brother. Brother Patrick. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I pray that we have not done that. And so, Brother Patrick, pray for us.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for that godly love. Mm-hmm. Which I now live in the flesh, I shed for the remission of our sins. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Take and drink. Amen. We're going to sing a scripture song while Patrick picks those cups up, if you don't mind. You're going to have to follow through the scriptures now. We hadn't sang this one in a long time, but I think it's apropos at this time. Starts in Isaiah 44:23. Some of you know it, so sing out. It starts in 44:23. Let me see. It goes from 44:23. I'll call them out as they come. Then it goes to 45:8. That's kind of the chorus. Then it goes to 45:3. Let's see. And then 45:8. And then it goes to 45:23 and back to 45:8. I think that's all correct. Do I have that right? 44:23, then 45:8, right? And then it goes to 45:3. Then 22 and 23, and then 45:8. Okay.
It's just the bottom.
Yeah. Follow along. I know some of you know it. Many of you don't. Maybe you haven't heard this, but it's a really good scripture song. It's got to be a good song because it's the Word of God. So, so you ready? Here we go. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself. Verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up. Together, together, I, the Lord, have created it. Verse 3. Is that right? Then it's 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Verse 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Verse 8. Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up Together, together, I, the Lord, have created it. I, the Lord, have created it. Now, that's a pretty complicated one. Go to Isaiah 61. Let's just sing that one, then we'll be dismissed. Isaiah 61:10. It's one verse twice. But listen, there's nothing more beautiful than that song being sung by a congregation of God's people. 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, I will greatly rejoice, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels, I will greatly rejoice, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Amen. A little bit easier. Well, amen, brethren, let's dismiss and we'll have our break. Thank the Lord that we could remember his broken body and shed blood for our sins. Let's pray. Chris, dismiss us for our break.
We thank you, dear Lord, that you gave us new wine skins. You've given us the new birth, Father, that we may be able to take in this new wine, the blood of your everlasting covenant. We thank you for your body, the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. Let us always be mindful of this, that you paid a great price for your saints. Let us go about daily, worshiping you and giving you thanks, for you have truly paid it all.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, brother, we're dismissed.